B-Pod Studios.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I can start this week. Here's the benefit of...
You do have some extra time this week, too.
You got three extra days to get ready. Yep. It's time.
Well, it's time. Expiring in L.A. On the kneel down by Goff. The Patriots, with their seventh loss of the season, fall below the 500 mark. Sean McVay, Bill Belichick, shaking hands at midfield, a long embrace between the two head coaches.
Why? 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app over at the app stores there. And you can listen to the show live, listen to the podcast. And God bless it. I'll tell you, the Patriots got 3 days to prepare for the big showdown in Miami. But we had Wallach and Jones here arguing about the job Belichick has done this season. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, John, you just said that Belichick has done a great coaching job and that he can't control that Cam Newton can't throw the football. Well, if I take a fat chick home from the bar, I can't wake up in the morning and be upset that I slept with a fat chick at the bar. He's the one. He's the one that brought Cam Newton in. He's the reason we're in this problem with not a good quarterback.
I can't argue with that. You win.
Well,
on the fat chick analogy.
No one is saying that he is a good GM. But however, if you made love to an overweight woman, there's nothing. If you enjoyed yourself, I don't know why you would feel.
There's
bad.
No shame in that. That's true.
Now you don't want her pestering you. Right. But my goodness, if it was a shared mutual,
we had a good time.
Experience,
but lose my number. Yeah.
Listen, I mean, you know. Right. If you're at her house, you say, I bid you adieu, madame.
You bring home a fat chick from the bar. That's what happens.
And then you start drinking immediately because you want to wear that off. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, listen, you got two predatorial birds right now sitting there. Okay? This is what you should do. It's starting to get a little bright. If you close the windows, make it dark, they calm down.
They go to sleep?
They go to sleep.
Because often we'll put a blanket over a wallet.
Yeah, just calm them down. That got a little heated there just a couple minutes ago. You know, they might be hungry. If you got some leftover Karen or something, throw it on the ground. Feed them. Do something, you know?
Thank you. I do. It's very disruptive. Bert Breer, by the way, is with us. He's brought to you by Encore Boston Harbor, where you can experience the thrills at the roulette tables and $10 blackjack minimums daily. Minimum subject to change. To learn more about responsible play, visit gamesense.ma.com. Bert joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Bert, what's the deal?
That was a heck of a fat chick analogy. I really, yeah.
But if you have consensual relations with an overweight woman and you enjoyed yourself, I don't know why you got to feel so bad about it. But listen,
waking up the next morning can be kind of jarring, though, you know?
No, I mean, if you don't remember having sex, that's you've really, as much as I've drank in my lifetime, that is a blackout.
I mean, you got a game plan on the fly the next morning, you know?
Well, listen.
I'll talk to us, Bert.
You went to Ohio State. Every time I went to Michigan State, it was amazing because I went to a small school where everyone knew each other, obviously. At Michigan State, which is smaller than Ohio State, but it's huge, 45,000 people. I mean, the amount you could get laid was ridiculous because the girls knew there was that no one, they wanted to have fun and that no one would know, be the wiser.
You could just vanish back into the crowd.
Yeah, and that like girls didn't care and they just wanted to, I mean, sex like... Easy sex, but you know, at Ohio State to live there, I mean, my goodness.
Everyone who I knew, like my friends who come and visit me there, like I can't think of one of them who didn't leave saying, why didn't I go to a school like this?
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I went where I went, but in terms of just like getting laid, my Lord, is it easy at big schools?
I was at Ohio State during Greek Week when I was in college. That was ridiculous. And, Bert, I came away with the same feeling. I went to a small school like 2100. And I think, why the hell didn't I choose this place?
Well,
like
the Sig Epic University of Florida, where the blonde kid from Road Rules went.
Oh, hey.
He was a Sig Epic Florida. Their house.
Wait, which blonde kid at Road Rules?
The one that ended the first Road Rules.
Oh, the first one.
Where he ended up with like the little brunette girl.
Okay.
Oh, he was like a good looking guy. He was in good shape. He was like a Road Rules star. He was like one of the big Road Rules stars. But this is very early in the game.
Okay.
He's older than me. But their house was like, they had like a hot tub and stuff. I mean, can you imagine? Like, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, we would get like, for like at our frat, we would have like, you know, you have basically like, there were places all over Columbus where you could rent those sorts of things. So we put like hot tubs on our front lawn for our parties and those sorts of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good place to go to school.
Yeah. You'll never get that again.
All downhill.
Never get that again.
Yeah, that's right.
Play the nappy roots. No. All right. So Bert Breer, there was a conversation going on here about the coaching job Belichick has done this year. Adam Jones feels he's not been great.
Stinks.
John counters with look at this roster, and of course no one's arguing he's a good GM. But look at this roster and look what he's done with it. I lie in the middle. There are games. I mean, the San Francisco game is inexcusable. They didn't try. But then I look at the Buffalo game that they lost, and they had the ball, except for that onside kick, which I'll give you. Yeah. They had the ball with a chance to win at the end of that game.
Baltimore game was pretty good.
I just look at that Buffalo game because they just were like, we're not going to throw. And they still were in a position to win that game.
Yep.
But that was very impressive to me that they were able to do that. But what do you lie on that?
I think the coaching has been fine. Is it Belichick's best coaching job? Like this is this, you know, winning 11 games after Brady got hurt in 2008? No. But I think for the most part, the coaching's been fine. I think the roster is like maybe bottom 10 in the league. And I'm going to give you guys, like, just let me ask you guys, like, I want to hear all three of you answer this question. Is there a single player on the Patriots roster that you are sure will be here in 3 years?
No.
One player, a single player that you're sure. Adam?
I just said no.
Oh, I thought that was Fred.
No, that was Adam. I'm trying to think. You know,
the Damian rookie.
Damian Harris,
no,
maybe?
I don't know that because he's a running back. What about the rookie line? The
Duggar, maybe? I mean,
no.
You talk about Wynn, the left tackle?
On Wynn.
Wynn.
Wynn. Okay, the larger point.
I understand.
Though,
we had to think about it, right?
Yeah. It's hard to answer that question, right? Like, and that's the thing is, like, I mean, it's been a while since, like, I really feel like they've had even a single cornerstone who's under 25 years old on their roster. I mean, Joe Tooney's, I think, 27 now, and he probably would have been the last one. I just don't know what they're building around, you know? Like, and that's the thing is, like, the scary thing is, like, if you look at, like, where they are, like, who they could bring back next year among the opt-outs, their best players are all ancient. Right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, Devin McCourty, Stephon Gilmore is going to be 30. Hightower and Chung are old. Like, what are you building around? Like, and that's the thing. Like, I think people, I don't know. I think people have this idea that you're going to drop a quarterback in there next year and everything's going to be fixed. Like, that's not the case.
No.
I don't know that you can fix what's wrong in one offseason. Like, I think they may be two offseasons away from really getting it right again. And, like, I know it's been a while since we've been here, and it sounds weird saying that when you're only 2 years separated from a Super Bowl title. The thing is that the reason why they got old is because they didn't have anybody to replace Hightower. They didn't have anybody to replace McCourty. They didn't have young guys coming up up underneath the older guys. And so they had to hang on to some of those older guys longer than they probably would have otherwise. And now they're in this spot where they're ancient in some positions and they have no answers at others. And, you know, I mean, the rookie class has shown some promise, but I don't know if Josh Uche or Anthony Jennings or, I mean, Mike Wenu, I think has a good chance to be here in 3 years. But if you ask yourself that question, it's a really, really hard one to answer. And I'm not sure there's another team in the league where you couldn't come up with one, like, just like that. you know?
And another thing for Patriots fans is that the other teams in this division are not going to be worse next year. I mean, they're just not going to be. And they're not going to be worse for a time because of the exact opposite. Buffalo and Miami have pieces to build around, and the Jets can't get any worse. So there you go.
Ask the same question about Buffalo. Josh Allen, Tre'Davious White, Tremaine Edmonds, Ed Oliver, Stephon Diggs. I mean, it's like you ask the same question of Buffalo, it's the same thing. I just, you know, like I think that they've got a ways to go as far as building the roster. Now they may be able to remain competitive in the interim because I think the coaching's good, and that's where I'm getting to answering you guys' question. Like, because the coaching's good, I think in the interim they'll be competitive, and on a week-to-week basis they'll be able to pop some teams that are better than them. But like from a roster standpoint, they're not anywhere close to competing for a championship. And I think people here got really comfortable with the idea that a quarterback can fix everything. And to me, that's almost disrespectful to what Tom Brady was. Like Tom Brady's greatest power, like here, was the fact that he could cover up whatever your weakness was for a lot of years. And I think last year, the dam sort of broke at the end of the year on that. But for a lot of years, they'd have holes on their roster that Tom Brady could cover up. I mean, hell, Tom Brady could cover up holes on defense, like through scoring. You know, like,
right, sure.
I mean, like, there's just
your offensive line didn't matter because he got rid of the ball in 0.2 seconds. Yeah,
right. Which you really noticed with Cam.
Oh God. Oh,
yeah. And I think the thing is, I think we looked at that like and we normalized it, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh well, you know, if you have the right quarterback, it doesn't matter. No. Like, look at what Jared Goff's a good example, right? So Jared Goff looked really good his first 2 years under McVay, right? Then last year, their roster decayed in certain spots, right? So now all of a sudden, Jared Goff, like, people were questioning whether or not he's the long-term answer. Now you come back this year, they make a couple moves, they add some guys to their coaching staff, and he looks better, you know? And so, like, that's the way it works in most places. It's not normal what Tom Brady did here for the last 20 years, where it's just consistent no matter what happens on the coaching staff, no matter what happens on the roster. Like what Brady accomplished here the last 20 years is very, very, very rare. And I think right now, as much as anything else, you're learning to live like everyone else does, where when you make huge mistakes on building your roster, you have to pay the price.
All right. Bert Breer is going to continue with us. 617-779-0985. We have Adam Jones in. A great day to have Jones in. And we will talk about the Celtics today as well. I'm very interested in Jones' opinion. Ooh. I've been called crazy because I think that if they traded for Harden, who'd want to be here, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Well, I like James Harden.
Well, he's a good player. All right, we will have all of this. We'll have more with Bert Breer coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. Life's tough.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer from MMQB is on with us. Don't worry, I want to ask you about Manish.
Crazy day.
You hear me? Your friend Manish?
Yeah, I heard you.
We like Manish. We have him on.
I know.
I like Manish. Personally, I like him. But I'll tell you who our babies are, beat reporters. Oh, boy. Are they babies? These guys, they're very upset at Manish. They sound like babies to me. They sound like babies to you?
Did somebody say something?
Oh, the guy from USA Today.
Yeah.
The big crybaby.
I'll paraphrase, but he basically was like, I'm sick and tired of doing Manish's work. Like,
no, but now he's like all...
Oh, well, that guy, I mean...
Is he taking like victory laps now?
Yes.
That guy? Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, I mean, he's like one of these... Like, he's like a Twitter scout, I think, and like kind of like got a couple of blogging jobs, and then... I mean, it's weird. Like, he's acting like he's, I don't know, he's swaggering around like he's John Wayne or something now.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, if you don't know, Manish Mehta, he's no longer with the Daily News.
And no, he's. I think he's still with the.
No,
is he not with the paper?
Oh, really?
Oh, I thought he was just removed.
I thought
from
he
the
just
beat.
Got pulled from the beat. Yeah. I thought he still worked for the newspaper.
He's no longer with the Daily News. It's being reported. But yeah, there's these guys that are like, now they're like they lose their jobs and they go crying on Twitter and it's just relax. I mean, what did he do to you? Well, he was taking my reporting. So, what, you stood there? It was so hard.
Yeah, well, like to take notes. You transcribed a press conference. Congratulations.
Yeah, like, right. Well, I want to be. I want my name in the paper. Why? Like, big deal.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like guys, like when I was 24 years old, I would have like walked across hot coals to cover the Jets for the New York Daily News. I was covering high schools.
Dude, I delivered a Blimpies to a radio station and I almost wet myself like being in the lobby. I was so nervous. So I know how it is. Yeah. But I mean, I certainly wouldn't have, there was no social media, but I certainly wouldn't have gone crazy that I had to do work and then the guy put it in his column. I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Because my bosses would have known.
And we've all been there where we had to pay dues. It seems like there's less of a willingness to do that across the board now.
Please, come on.
That's like it's abuse to have to pay your dues now or something.
Well, if you're passionate about something and your schooling is not getting you there, the best thing to do is immerse yourself in it and do the work. That's the best way to do it. But
that's right.
I just wanted to make you uncomfortable. That's right. All right. Appreciate that. Here's the deal. I was looking at a mock draft that Mel Kiper and what's his face did?
Todd McShay.
Yeah. And I was looking at that and they said that the Lions could take Zach Wilson. And the theory was that the Lions could release, and I want the room's, I want Jones's opinion on this. And so they were like, well, they could look to trade Stafford or they could cut him. Now we looked into it, and if they cut Stafford, there's a lot of dead money.
Big number.
Yeah.
Big number.
They wouldn't have to, they could get something for him. Okay. They wouldn't have to cut him.
So if I'm the Patriots, under no circumstances do I think that I'm trading for him. But that being said, because Stafford is a very good quarterback. People don't want to believe it, but he is. He's a very good quarterback.
His numbers are better than you'd think over the last two years.
He's a very good quarterback, and he's a very clutch quarterback.
And he survived a lot of chaos there.
Yes, he has weathered the storm. His wife is kind of a pain in the ass, but nonetheless, you can...
She's not a big fan of the masks, I don't think.
No. It's just another one that's like, dude, just, you know, talk to your own followers. If I was her husband, I'd be like, oh, dude, just stop. But nonetheless, if Stafford were to be available, he comes to the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're hell-bent on having a bridge here, is this a realistic thing? Because if you want to see a quarterback rarely available, a guy who I do not believe is a Hall of Fame quarterback, but if you talk to football writers, they say, you know, if you look at his statistics, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, what does Peter King think about this, Bert?
And that's not good there. He thinks that he's just enjoying microbrews.
Sorry.
But if you're the Patriots, is this a move that you would make, and what would you have to give up?
So, yes, it is. And I've talked a lot about the idea of a bridge, right?
Yeah.
Like, and thinking Cam maybe could be that. And I still don't think that, like, and I know like how bad Cam's looked. I still don't think that like they've done everything they can to help him. But like, if you wanted to look at your other options, I think absolutely Matthew Stafford is somebody who could be a good bridge. He's going to be 33 years old in February. In quarterback years now, that means you could absolutely get another good 4 or 5 years out of him. He's under contract for the next 2 years at a pretty affordable rate. It's $43 million over two, which is, I mean, very affordable for like based on where the market is now across the NFL. That probably put him maybe the 21st, 22nd highest paid quarterback in the league. And yeah, I mean, I think the goal is, and I've said this a few different times to you guys, I know the goal is to have somebody that, you know, you can feel like you can compete with for the next few years, where if you don't, or if you aren't crazy about the options at quarterback in the draft, you can wait a year.
Yep.
Because the worst position you can be in is being pigeonholed into a single year, being forced to take one, especially when your draft pick's not going to be in the top 10.
Yep.
And I also think that like they should look at the idea of trading up if they're really in love with a guy. The problem with trading up for a quarterback, though, it's going to cost you a lot. And
Yeah, but you might get yourself a Watson or a Mahomes or a Josh Allen or somebody.
Well, here's the problem, though, Jones. Like, here's the issue with it, though. If you've got that amount of holes on your roster, right, now all of a sudden to trade up, you're depleting like the resources you have to fill all of those holes.
So yeah, but Bill will figure it out with all those other draft picks.
But what kind of they'll take you're gonna take all those other draft picks and package them to move up to go and get one of
yeah,
those guys.
Yeah, you in the now NFL sudden, you need those. Yeah.
Now all of a sudden your resources to put a good situation around the guy are depleted. Like you brought up Watson and Mahomes, right? Mm-hmm. Great examples of aggressive moves to go and get guys. Well. When the Texans traded up for Watson, Bill O'Brien was in his fourth year there. When the Chiefs traded up for Mahomes, like Andy Reid was in his fifth year there. Okay. Those guys had
Bill's built, in his 20th.
Those guys had built teams that were like ready to roll for those quarterbacks. So those quarterbacks were walking. Now I'm not saying Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes wouldn't have made it otherwise, but look at the situations those guys were walking into. Those weren't rebuilding situations. So those guys were put in great positions to succeed because those teams had spent years and years of draft capital to build up the situations around them. And you look at it like, I mean, Deshaun Watson's first year in the league, Dwayne Brown's the left tackle. He's throwing to DeAndre Hopkins, right? Patrick Mahomes' first year in the league, Eric Fisher's his left tackle. He's throwing to Tyreek Hill. I mean, it's just, if you're not creating that sort of situation for your quarterback, I think it's something you got to consider too. And I think it'd be really hard to create a great situation for a young quarterback without having a lot of other young guys around him here. And if you're like packaging picks to go up and get a quarterback, you're depleting your resources to do that sort of thing.
All right. Burt Breer, because Sam Darnold, there's no way the Jets make a move to put Sam Darnold on the Patriots, correct?
I'd be surprised. Just because I think that the Jets are going to have options, right? Like, so Denver really liked him coming out. I think Kyle Shanahan likes him. Would San Francisco look at it? I think Chicago, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis. Like, if they were the only team out there that wanted Sam Darnold, then maybe I could see the Jets doing it. Like, I don't think Joe Douglas would be totally against it. But if he has like three or four like similar options as far as where he's going to move Sam Darnold, like then he's obviously going to pick somewhere else
right.
to send him, like which means like you're probably going to have to pay a premium to go and get him. Which, I mean, if you really love him, go and do it. You know what I mean? But it's just hard for me to see a scenario where, based on like what I think is going to be competition for Sam Darnold in the offseason. I can't see a real scenario where the Jets would move him here.
Would the Jets take a quarterback if they had the second pick in the draft?
I think it's a fair question. Yeah. I mean, it depends on what you think of Justin Fields, I guess. But I think it would be a consideration. I think if they had the first pick, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yes.
Like, I think, you take Trevor Lawrence, you see what you can get for Sam Darnold, you go for it. Because Trevor Lawrence is just like a different dude. I think Justin Fields is a good enough prospect where – it's at least then a question. Like Justin Fields would be the first overall pick in a lot of years. He just happens to be in the same draft class as Trevor Lawrence. So I think that would be probably like a consideration and a question, especially because if you draft Justin Fields, now all of a sudden you're starting that clock over with the rookie contract where you have that advantage again going forward. Whereas with Sam Darnold, you're going to have to make a decision on his fifth year option after this season. Which means you only have Sam Darnold on the cheap for one more year.
All right. We'll continue with Burt Breer, 617-779-0985. Hear the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Now, for Touch Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Run pass option. Don't do a sneak here. Get him outside. Throw first. Run second. Give him a chance. Harris don't go between tackles.
From the quarterback's right now to move in motion left slot. It's a snap to Newton. He's going to look to pitch it. Has nowhere to go.
No,
he is brought down in the backfield.
Terrible
a tackle
call.
Made by Justin Hollins and Cam Newton. Drop for a loss back at the four. Patriots turned away empty-handed.
Yes, you're a computer operative.
Excellent.
Hey, yo.
Excellent.
Stop playing, it's my turn to smoke. Heavy dose of that murder I wrote. Don't let it burn your throat. I ain't from the same cloth, they be turning coats. I'm hood good, head of Chi-Town of Sherman Oaks. Ain't nothing worse than true lies, but new lies. I'm too wise, they be
acting like they shoot sides. 95 to Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer from MMQB is with us. And everyone loves Burt Breer. And everyone does not love the Pittsburgh Steelers, Burt. Pittsburgh Steelers, they lose a game despite the chaos that has been their season due to no faults of their own. The chaos that has been their season, they do lose. They have the audacity to lose a game. Yeah. And people now are completely off the Pittsburgh bandwagon. Where do you stand with this team currently?
I mean, I still think, depending on how the injury situation shakes out at linebacker for them, I still think they've got a chance to get like considerably better over the next month of the season, because their defense is still one of the best in the league. And I think their receiver situation like has a chance to take a big step forward because they're so young at those spots with Juju Smith-Schuster, with Deontay Johnson, and with Chase Claypool. And so like I look at the job that Ben Roethlisberger's done, on balance, he's had, I think, his best year in a few years. And I think they've got some depth at running back now. And you look at the the defense is the foundation of that team again for the first time in like a decade. It just looks like they play the sort of game that you can win with in January. So if they have some incremental improvement over the next 2-3 weeks and they can hit the ground running going into the playoffs, I still think it's a team to be reckoned with. I think the Chiefs are the easy favorite in the AFC. But that doesn't mean the Steelers have fallen off completely. I think they're probably still the second best team.
While we're talking about AFC East powers, I'm really hesitant to ask you this because it's a hot button topic for a lot of people.
Oh, John, really think about it.
No, okay.
Before you spit.
Yeah, well, you guys already asked me.
Maybe
about
you better
Mitch.
Not.
I guess.
No. All right. So not a flaming hot take. Josh Allen has been really, really good or really, really bad. See, leading up now, everyone can back up.
At Ken Griffey rules.
Josh
on Twitter.
At Ken Griffey rules
on Twitter.
Rich and I have this argument all the time about Josh Allen. He is convinced that Josh Allen is an MVP candidate and he's the next thing. And I'm convinced that he can run extremely hot and cold. What do you say, expert?
He can run hot and cold.
Of course.
I think that's obvious.
There's no conversation.
Right. But I think he's still like, look, like
he's got him better. I'll say this and then I'll let you talk.
Yeah.
Because he's much better than I thought he would be, because I thought he was a dog. However, let's relax on his incredible ability. Let's not go crazy. He sucked in high school.
So here's the problem that, his completion percentage was under 60 in high school, right?
Dude, he went to Wyoming at that size
and never completed 60% of his passes ever.
Okay, so here's the thing with him, right? So, and I think this happens with a lot of young quarterbacks. We talk about how raw they are coming out of college, and we say this guy's going to need 2 or 3 years, and then they get in the pros, and we don't give them 2 or 3 years, right? Like, we start assessing them after 2 years, and we say, well, this is what this guy is. And I know that we have to do that because there's a ton of column space, there's a ton of, you know, airtime, all that different stuff to fill, and you have to take the guys for what they are. But I think it was always going to take a little time with Josh Allen. When he came into the pros, I know the teams, and this was a consensus on him, teams that were looking at him said he looks a little sped up because the team around him at Wyoming wasn't very good. So we got to find a way to slow him back down. And we got to find a way to make everything kind of like just give him a clear picture of what he's looking at. And I think Brian Daboll and those guys in Buffalo have done a really nice job of bringing him along incrementally. Like, early in his career, they were relying a little bit more on his legs. Now they've started to scale back on that. They taught him to take easy money, like, last year. Now you're seeing that more consistently. I think, like, what we saw against San Francisco the other night, I don't know, guys, that looked real to me. like some of the throws he was making, the way he was protecting the ball. And that was going in against even though that defense doesn't have Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas and it's had its issues this year, I mean, they've still played really well defensively. like, I'm really, really encouraged by what I saw against San Francisco.
But Burt, he looked real. He looked real in September. He was great in September, and then in October, he didn't look good.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying, but that's being a young quarterback, right? Like, that's being a guy who was seen as raw coming out. Like, it just takes time to become more consistent. And that's what separates the great ones. The great ones are the ones that are they can do it week in and week out. And I think, like, just because he was raw coming out, they had to take kind of incremental steps in getting him where he needs to go. Like, he's still only in his third year. So I don't know. I look at him, and why don't we compare him against the other guys in his class, right?
Well, he's the best out of that class. I'd rather have Lamar Jackson this year.
I'd probably still rather have Lamar, but that might be a question now, right? Yeah. Okay,
well,
so
Rosen's done. Baker's right. been good, but Allen's better, or has been better. And then who
Darnold.
Else?
Went,
oh, Darnold. Right, duh, right.
Right. So out of the five quarterbacks who went in the first round, I think you could make an argument like, oh, for the next 10 years, you like Josh Allen might be the guy you take. And I don't think there are very many people who would have guessed that 2 years ago. Right.
He's also there's a lot of variables, but sure. Yeah.
There's a lot of variables, but I mean, as far as upside,
well, he's better than Mayfield. That's for sure.
So you've already proven to this, you can win with him. We know that, right?
Yes.
Like, cause they're going to be in the playoffs for a second straight year with him as the starting quarterback. So, you know, baseline, you can win with him. And the upside's off the charts, right? Like, this isn't like, all right, like, this is what he's going to be for the next 10 years. Like, the upside, if he can become more consistent, like, is as a top five quarterback in the NFL. And, I mean, is it hard for you guys to see this guy being Ben Roethlisberger for the next 10 years?
No, or like, I mean, he doesn't run as well as early career Cam, but like Cam, he could be that kind of quarterback. Yeah.
Well, Ben Roethlisberger.
Cam from last night.
not that yet.
Yeah,
Ben Roethlisberger won two Super Bowls. So, like, what are we talking about then? You know what I mean? Like, I think Josh Allen, like, to me, I think the Bills are in a great spot now because they've already shown they can win with him as their starting quarterback. And there is so much room for growth there. And if he can be what he was against the Niners the other night on a consistent basis, that's a top five quarterback.
A top five quarterback, Josh Allen.
Like the game, if he can play the way now, I know he's not going to be like put up the numbers every week, but if he can play the way that he played the other night, like some of the throws he made the other night were bonkers. Like those, like Mahomes type throws, like that you only see a few guys make. And so, like, I think the upside with Josh Allen, the upside, like, and I'm saying, like, if you're thinking about, like, what would he be ideally if all of it came together? Well, yeah, I mean, I think he's got the upside to be a top five quarterback.
No, listen.
He's the right kind of kid, too, and I think that's another huge
part. Well, he doesn't want to leave Buffalo. I mean, you got that going for you if you're Buffalo. He doesn't want to leave.
Well, he's from, like, isn't he from, like, one of, like, the rural parts? Like, he's from, like, Fireball, California, which I think is, like, around Fresno. So he went to school in Wyoming. Makes sense that he'd like Buffalo, right?
Yeah, he's a simple guy. He has simple interests. You give him a cup and a ball and a string.
He's no Tom Brady. You know, Brady's been very bitchy. About the weather. You know, Josh Allen likes that likes that weather.
I tell you,
that was
Brady,
an interesting comment, wasn't it? Like, isn't he like that? He wouldn't be caught dead in the Northeast again. I thought his plan was to settle in New York.
No. He loves Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where the Brady's are gonna. Him and Giselle are gonna go.
A lot of culture
roots.
In Tampa. Yep.
Yes, exactly. Yes, you know, her. She has caviar dreams, my friend. And there's no place better than Tampa, Florida.
There's actually a lot of culture right there by the stadium in Tampa too.
Absolutely, there's a lot of places.
Walking distance.
You can support a lot of people's community college. Absolutely, by doing that. But yes, it is funny when someone like brags about living in Tampa, and you're like, "Wow, yeah, that's great."
Sorry, Tom.
Like everyone just wants to move to Tampa. Right. It's so great there.
The Paris of the South.
Again, Florida could have been in Eden, but we ruined it. We said, "What's the most geographically desirable location? What has the best weather?" If you go into inland Florida, and right in the middle, there's lakes every 5 feet. It's the I went to school in Central Florida.
Oh, the landscape's beautiful.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. And what do? We just took the worst people on the planet and put them right there. It's like what England did to Australia. They just made it essentially a prison colony. A
penal colony.
My buddy who lives there put it best. He's lived there for about 10 years now. He calls it a sunny place for shady people.
Yes, indeed. You know what where the only normal people, and this is a stretch, but the only normal people live is in the Orlando area. And that's absolutely
really?
True. Uh-huh.
So you would think that'd be the
you would think it would be the opposite.
Looney Tunes, yeah.
But Winter Park, Florida, that whole area, good people. And fairly normal. Mm. Fairly normal by Florida standards. Mm. I know, Dan, you spent time there, but better than Tampa.
It was like doing time. It wasn't spending time. It was like doing time.
But it's better than Jacksonville in terms of people. It's better than Tampa. It's certainly better than Miami.
Yeah,
it's
I lived in Palm Beach for 8 years.
You know what I actually thought? Like, if I lived in Florida, I think I would live around Fort Lauderdale. Like, Fort Lauderdale feels like you've got the beach. You've got, like, a lot of the benefits of Miami. But it's not as weird and out there as Miami,
well,
right?
In Fort Lauderdale, everyone is crash. And you'll say, "Oh, Fred, you're joking." No, they have an accent. They have an accent like Crash. They look like Crash.
Wow.
Oh, absolutely. I could pick out a guy from Fort Lauderdale. If you put people in the lineup, I could tell you everyone that was from Fort Lauderdale.
You're saying Bert wouldn't fit in.
No.
Oh, see, I thought the downtown area is nice. The beach like isn't over the top.
Everything in Fort Lauderdale was fine. I'm just saying, and I like Crash.
It's the people that are there.
And I like Crash, but every MILF Hunter's restaurant is in Fort Lauderdale.
Is that right?
Yes.
There's a restaurant?
Wow, I had no idea.
It's not called the MILF Hunters or anything, but the guy who was MILF Hunter no longer does porn. He owns a bar restaurant.
How about that?
Bang Bros are in Miami. Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, they're in Miami, yeah. but Fort Lauderdale.
I'm sure all those companies are in South Florida.
MILF Hunter's
right?
restaurant, nice.
Yeah, the MILF Hunter, at least he had a restaurant.
Nice.
We have listeners that have been there.
Is it a themed restaurant?
I mean, it's like probably like Pirate Jacks or something. I mean,
all these big screens just playing nonstop while you're eating.
As I've said before, the MILF market is saturated. The MILF market is saturated.
But he was in there first. He was in there first.
Stepmom this, stepmom that. Yeah. I mean, give me a break already. I mean, please.
Let's go for a stroll on the beach, see who we run into.
Some of us are 45 and we would just like a genuine MILF encounter and not some weird thing happening.
You know what? Like Jacksonville's actually like the landscape of Jacksonville is nice, but Jacksonville's like the South. Like the rest of Florida, like Tampa and Miami, like they aren't really the Deep South. Like Jacksonville's the Deep South.
No, they're just criminals. And I'll tell you, Jacksonville is the worst. Tampa's got a terrible downtown too, where everyone just leaves at 5 o'clock on Fridays and it's over. But we went to Jacksonville, had a place in the city Saturday night, got it, flew in. Went to the hotel and said, "We're hungry. Is there somewhere to eat?" And they said, "If you take the monorail or whatever crap they have, like five exits, there's a Hooters."
You're like,
what?
Oh, good.
Like, we're staying downtown.
You're like, MILF Hunter doesn't have a restaurant here? What the hell? Yeah, Where am I even?
Yeah, like, the people.
What kind of backwoods place am I?
It's a MILF Hunter chain.
Yeah. I mean, you have, Leonard Skinner, the guy with the eye patch, hasn't opened something downtown that I can get myself into.
No Limp Bizkit restaurant there in Jacksonville?
That's right. Fred Durst is from there. We had to hail a cab from a freeway off ramp, is how we hailed a cab.
Jacksonville has really nice beaches and really nice golf courses.
Yes. And you know who moves there and who they're trying to recruit to move there? People that are dying. Because they just want anyone in there to get the crime rates better because those hicks, ooh boy, they love to break the law.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't like seceded to Georgia. Like it feels like they would fit in better with like South Georgia, you know?
You joke about secession, but it could be happening sooner than you think. People could try, the states could start.
Maybe like late January.
Yeah, they're starting to get antsy. They're starting to pick fights with other states.
Yeah.
They're starting to tell other states what to do. And when that happens, we've seen how that's worked out in the past.
I know my rights.
Yeah, that's not so many generations ago that happened. All right. Bert Breer, thank you so much for the time, sir. It's always a pleasure. We appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You do the same. All right. Well, I got a lot of stuff I could get to here.
Well, what are the choices?
Well, I got some things, but I don't know. I don't know.
It sounded like a little attitude in how Wallach asked that. There's a little attitude there.
How was that attitude?
I have several things we could get to, but I have a. I don't know what the audience wants. I think I know what the audience wants. I think that they're, you know, they're scratching their heads. They're coming off a big loss.
All right. I get it.
The playoffs aren't happening.
People need a way to vent. I don't know
if they need a way to vent or if they need a way to recalibrate, if they need a way to get their tonality, if they need to tune the fretboard, if they need to get behind the piano and go dee, 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 dee.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
A flat. If they needed to do a little bit of that. All right, we can shoot the breeze. 617-779-0985. If I don't get calls, I'm moving on to something else. It's as simple as that. Holiday shooting the breeze. 617-779-0985. If you don't call in, I won't do it. I have something else right here. I have topics galore. 617-779-0985. I'll take my ball and go home. Don't you worry. I have my t-shirt. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.